From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes. Glad that you're here with us today. We got a fantastic panel of guests from in and around DeKalb County. We'll introduce them in a second, but want to remind you first that DeKalb Business Today is on social media. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. Of course, you can listen live anytime, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com, or find our podcast there, or free downloads on iTunes as well. Let's get to that panel I mentioned earlier. Our first guest is Vanetta Daniels. She is the CEO of VYD and Associates. Vanetta, we appreciate having you here.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your business.
We are a management strategy consulting firm. We're based very, very close to this office, actually, in unincorporated DeKalb County. Our primary focus is the federal space. We've done some projects for the U.S. Department of Labor, and also done some state and local projects with Georgia Tech and the Eastlake Foundation.
What kinds of projects are you doing?
They've kind of varied. We did an organizational effectiveness assessment supporting Georgia Tech's internal strategic consulting group. For the Eastlake Foundation, we actually helped them implement a performance measurement software. And so there were some business requirements and helping them understand how they need to use a tool, even from a fundraising strategy perspective, and making sure, you know, any software tool is as good as what you put in. So making sure it's not a case of, you know, garbage in, garbage out. And the work we've done with the Department of Labor has actually been research, policy recommendations, and making gap analysis. We've done some work. There was a collaboration with Department of Labor's vets, as well as the Women's Bureau, looking at women's veterans employment issues and doing gap analysis and research and making policy recommendations to kind of help them make research-informed policy decisions. And recently we did a project looking at best practices around women in non-traditional occupations, which was great because in that work we actually connected with women who had really great stories. I've actually become friends with Patrice Banks from Girls Auto Clinic, so definitely enjoy when you do really great work that introduces you to really awesome people.
Can't wait to hear more about that. We'll circle back with you. But speaking of non-traditional occupations, Paul Servino. Paul, we were talking about your business, Bio One Atlanta, before the show. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
Yeah, we're responsible for doing a majority of the crime scene cleanup here in Atlanta. We do suicide, homicide, body decomposition, biohazards, hoarding cleanup, feces cleanup. Basically, you know, where we come on in, we're the people you call when you don't know who to call.
Yeah.
You know, we do the jobs that nobody else wants to do, those gross, disgusting jobs. But the good thing about our job is that, you know, about our business is that you always need us. Whether you might not need us today, but somewhere along the line, later on, you might need us. So with that, you know, we're able to go in, get the job done. And, you know, the good thing about our business is that our ethos is to take care of the family. You know, so we're able to go in, take care of the family, do the cleanup, not impact, you know, low stress for the families. And then on top of that, what's good about our service is that when something does bad happen in the household, insurance covers it. Homeowners insurance covers it. So majority of the time, there's no money out of pocket from our customers.
There's so many questions that come up with a business like this. The first one that I'll ask you, how did you get into this?
Yeah, that's quite interesting, actually. I was on my way opening up a check cashing business. And then, you know, through friends of friends of friends, the CEO of Bio One, which we're a franchise, had contacted me and said, hey, would this be something that you're interested in? And my first response was, what do you guys do? Who are you? You know, please, you know, let, you know, yeah, what do you guys do? So, you know, after the initial shock of hey, do you want to join a crime scene cleanup franchise? I was out on an airplane the following week and in business roughly about a couple of weeks after that initial phone call.
Wow. I look forward to talking more with you about maybe some of the more interesting stories. I'm sure there are plenty, so we'll circle back
tons.
With you. Yeah. Our third guest is Jacqueline Charles. She is a radio host. Great place to be here. Women Are Worthy. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I'm just taking a moment to absorb what he just mentioned because I didn't have breakfast and he mentioned feces. So just give me a moment to woosah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Okay. Yes, my name is Jacqueline Charles and I have a radio show called Women Are Worthy. It's also an organization We're also a nonprofit. I decided to get into this business. I stepped away from corporate America. I was working in the medical field training doctors. And I noticed women were not communicating. They weren't sharing things like their counterparts. Men will, you know, they share information and it's no problem, high five. And I'm finding women are not doing that. So it kind of irked me. So I decided not to be part of the problem. I wanted to be part of the solution, because so often we say we're going to do things and we don't do it. So I created this. I started it with the radio show, and I'm getting loads of women who are sharing information with me. I also mentor Cobb County. I'm a mentor in the Cobb County school systems with the young ladies, because I understand we can mentor the kids, but who's there to help the parents? Mm-hmm. So I'm helping these kids, and the mother, she's stuck in whatever rut that she's in. We're also doing seminars with relationships. Thank God, I've been married 26 years. I love my husband. Shout out to Ray Charles, wonderful guy. No jokes, okay? No jokes. And I just love it. I just love what I do. I'm finding people, the women, since I started getting into this, because I asked God, please, Lord, help me. Because I was one of those women who, ooh, I can't stand women. They're gossipy, they're crazy, and I'm not seeing that anymore. You know, I've asked God to bring the women that I need in my life, so they're helping me. So I want to use my platform to do empowerment. You know, it's basically women are worthy. We're an empowerment. We're not just a company.
And the website, again, is womenareworthy.net.
Womenareworthy.net, and all our handles are Women Are Worthy. Yes, sir.
And we'll look forward to talking more about that. This is DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. Let's get back to our first guest, Vanetta Daniels, the CEO of VYD & Associates. We've talked a little bit about the background of our other guests. You're in a very specific field, a very specific need. What is your background? How did you get here?
So my background is a little diverse. I am prior military, so I actually was an aircraft electrician in the Air Force, and I transferred to Emory after I got out of the military, which is how I ended up in Atlanta. And just a combination of I graduated Emory in 2002 when the economy really went south. And so I was fortunate to start working for the School of Public Health and worked in nonprofit for about 4 years, and wanted to get into consulting. So I left Emory in early 2006 and started contracting at the CDC, but more of like a staff augmentation role. I was a program analyst in the National Centers for Environmental Health. And so I knew that the two consulting firms that hired the most prior military were Bearing Point and Booz Allen Hamilton. So I went to military.com and found people who were prior military who worked in those firms and connected with them. And as fate would have it, I connected with someone who was at Bearing Point, who was also from the same part of Connecticut I'm from. And so I was originally recruited into the aerospace and defense practice at Bearing Point. And so I was the PMO for the C-5 modernization project at Lockheed. And then when that rolled down, I actually went back to the CDC. And so went from Bearing Point to PricewaterhouseCoopers, and then I was an internal consultant for SunTrust. So I've actually worked in consulting now since about 2006, and so it was just kind of a natural next step for me.
Where did the initial interest in consulting come from?
I think being a maintainer, meaning you go in and fix things, kind of the whole mindset of one, preventative maintenance, like how do you fix a problem, troubleshooting, especially when I worked in nonprofit and people were just like, well, I don't understand how someone who worked on planes wants to, you know, go into communities and develop programs. And I'm like, the saying I would use is, just because my headset is out doesn't mean, just because I can't hear something in my headset doesn't mean the headset's out. It could be a wire in the tail of the plane. And so I think when you have that kind of, let me look at kind of the whole organization, machine, whatever that is, and let me figure out what's causing the problem. Or when you see repeat problems, if it's two things that are rubbing together on a plane, a lot of times that's where you have things that tend to break. And so it really is a very similar kind of mindset, being a maintainer of a major weapon system to kind of looking at a large machine, both literally and figuratively, and figuring out how to fix the problem and how to prevent the problem from continuing to happen.
Vanetta Daniels, our guest. VYDandAssociates.com is the website. A lot of people go into consulting and they work at a consulting firm and they just do that their whole career. You have gone into business for yourself. How did you make that decision?
I originally incorporated when I when I left PwC, and ironically, the second you decide to go into business for yourself, you're going to get great job offers. So, so I did. I had interviewed, I think within the same month, I interviewed with SunTrust, I interviewed with NDC, with Booz Allen Hamilton, as well as Ernst & Young. I actually ended up getting the offer with SunTrust here as an internal consultant first, and actually doing work I was very interested in doing. And so, you know, I had incorporated the business, kind of had it on the side. And then a couple of years later, I was presented with the opportunity to do a project with the East Lake Foundation. I'm also an AmeriCorps National Service alum, so I've served pretty much on boards nonstop since about 2004. So have always been very community focused. And so it was just kind of a unique opportunity to do community engagement work that required someone who had an IT project management and strategy background. So it was just kind of like a unique opportunity to just do something that, and the East Lake Foundation, I've known, you know, the people that are there for quite some time. So it was just a great opportunity to do great work for a great organization working with great people. So I kind of took that as an opportunity to make the leap.
So part of the job as an entrepreneur is working to attract new clients. How do you do that? Is that a challenge?
You know, it is. It's a lot of, you're kind of like the professor that's doing the experiment on yourself. Like, you have to figure out what works and what doesn't. And it's a trial and error process. And what works for one person may not work for another. If I ask five different small business leaders or, you know, what they ask, I will get conflicting opinions. So at the end of the day, you kind of have to discern what's going to work well for you. It's about relationship building. I attended the Veterans Institute for Procurement in DC last October, and it was a fantastic program. And I actually had a program officer for one of the federal agencies say, you know, we ultimately are going to do work, are more inclined to do work with people we know, we like, and we trust. And so if no mm-hmm. one knows you, mm-hmm. they don't, you know, they can't like you or trust you.
Sure.
Independent of how great your qualifications are. And so you really have to, you know, what I've found has worked is you really have to team with other businesses to kind of get your foot in the door, and build those relationships and show that you can do really great work. Sometimes you will have to do that as a loss. Like, sometimes you will have to take those projects that are an investment, because you're trying to build past performance or relationship with an organization or agency. And so those are decisions that, you know, and which of those decisions you're going to make. Sometimes you'll take that risk and it will absolutely work out. And sometimes you make it and it won't. And so you really have to plan that into your strategy. It's not like having a regular job. It's not linear. It's definitely ups and downs and cyclical. A lot of work is seasonal. You know, there's definitely seasonality and kind of where there's spikes and peaks in your client flow, especially when you do work in the federal space. So you need to kind of have that in your business plan, and you kind of have to expect that, I think.
I would imagine there are different challenges when you talk about consulting or even trying to get in touch and get contracts with a nonprofit, a for-profit, or a government entity. What are some of the different challenges there?
They're just very different animals. With the federal space, it's a longer process. You know, it takes longer to build relationships with a federal client. The return on investment is a lot of federal projects, especially as you get more, as you grow in your business, they can be a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And so there's kind of the return on investment of, you know, when you're doing smaller projects, you're constantly hunting more. Mm-hmm. Whereas you have longer term projects, you can do more, sustained work. And, you know, and of course, you'll be able to do that more as you develop in your business. You know, nonprofits and commercials. Well, another thing about the federal space is that they are legally required to pay you within a certain amount of time, which when you're a small business, especially in this financial environment, your capital, your access to capital and your money flow is really important. And it actually is what cripples a lot of small businesses. Mm-hmm. So the fact that, you know, Department of Labor or most federal clients will pay a small business within 2 weeks of submitting an invoice. That's huge. Yeah. And there are actually local clients that I have kind of shied away from because, you know, we're not a $5 million a year business where we have an equity line of credit of $1 million to float the 6 months. And I've heard stories of where, you know, some businesses are like, you know, I have a client, they haven't submit, you know, it takes about 6 months for them to pay my invoices. Those are the type of things as a small business you really need to consider when you look at either an agency or an entity. Can I do business with this client right now? And you may be able to answer that question in 5 or 10 years when you're more developed. But, you know, those are the type of things I think a lot of times small businesses don't factor in who they pursue as clients. And it really can be quite devastating.
You're listening to DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. We're talking with Vanetta Daniels from VYD and Associates. Before we move on, Vanetta, I want to ask you how people can get in touch with you about your business, but maybe more importantly, or just as importantly, how do they know that they need your business? At some point, they've got to make a decision. I need this help.
Oh, you know, the catch-22, especially in the federal space, is a lot of times they may know they need it, but they don't have the budget for it. Mm-hmm. there's always that. You know, a consultant is kind of like anything else that you need, that you know you, or a lot of times people think they can put it off because they don't know they need it, or sometimes people don't know how much they don't know. You know, there's a fine line between trying to educate people and trying to be a trusted advisor and just barking up the wrong tree. And you are going to have to discern that as well. But again, you know, kind of just, you know, make it known and market your services well. Market what the value of your service is. And, you know, a lot of times you'll eventually get through that person through word of mouth. Sometimes what happens is you tell them how much they need or what they need to happen, and they say, oh, well, I talked to this person over here that said they could do it for half that. Oh. And you go, oh, okay. And then, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And then when that person blows it up, they can come back to you and say, hey, can you fix this? And, you know, that unfortunately does happen at times as well.
Before we get to the cell phones and everything, I want to remind you, you can find Vanetta at vydandassociates.com. You're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/vydandassociatesllc. So check them out. Vanetta Daniels, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to our second guest now. We talk with Paul Servino, the owner of Bio1 Atlanta. So break it down for us, Paul. You're the owner. Are you just at a desk job? Do you ever go out to these scenes?
That's a great question. I'm actually an owner-operator.
Okay.
You know, I do have employees. And believe it or not, I'm glad I have our two guests here. Majority of my cleaners are single moms, my technicians.
Wow.
Yes. They go out there and, you know, they're the ones actually, you know, go out there and clean. When I first started the business, it was just me, myself, and I going out there in the middle of the night doing the cleanup. And then obviously as business has progressed forward and you know, as I became more, as the business matured, I was able to take on employees and be able to train them. So now I actually still go out to every single scene. They actually do the work. We use the business model of two cleaners, two technicians doing the work. And then I usually interact with the family this way, so the family is not on top of my cleaners asking tons and tons of questions, because that's usually what happens. Because when there's an event in a house, it's the first time that something like this has usually happened within a family. And, you know, like anything else, you know, they have tons and tons of questions. So I'm usually there to, you know, be the in-between the cleaners and the family.
How do you find your staff? Because if you're staffing a cleaning company, you're going to go in and clean someone's house. This is a different beast. This takes some toughness, some resolve, I guess, with your employees.
Yes. My girls, you know, what was interesting is I was going through a set of employees when I first, you know, when I was looking for initial, you know, technicians. And then I came across Dorothy. Dorothy was one of the, you know, single mom, and she said, oh, this is right up our alley, this is what we do, you know, we deal with kids all day, this is what we do.
You have those diaper explosions and stuff.
Yeah,
been there. Been
okay.
There.
Like, it's either I do with the kid or I get paid for it. And you know, and I was like, wow. You know, so, you know, working with her, and then she got a couple of her friends you know, that she knew. And then from there, just progress forward. So my cleaners are more of a click, is the best way to put it. Whenever we need somebody else, we put usually the word of mouth to go like, hey, I need to find a cleaner. You know, someone's leaving, we need to go get another one. And they're pretty good, and you know, their social network is pretty tight. So they go out and find another one, and they bring him into the company. We interview him and put him to work.
Wow. So the question I guess we all want to ask, What's the worst? What's the worst thing you've ever come across?
What's the worst thing that I've ever come across? The best way to put it is, man, that's such a tough question because, you know, everyone's threshold for what is the worst is always different. For me, it's going into, military families, mm-hmm. Military personnel that, their families have forgotten about them or they're just living alone. And for us, going in there and having to clean up after them because someone forgot about them, that would have to be the worst one, the worst ones that we have to deal with. But for the most part, we try not to get emotionally invested with the cleaning and with our clients. We never ask the question why it happened. Obviously, we want to know what happened, when it happened, because it makes us more effective cleaners. But we try not to get emotionally involved by asking the question why.
You try not to get emotionally involved or emotionally affected. Obviously, that's going to happen from time to time. You guys are human. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with that for your employees?
It's quite interesting. A lot of interaction between me and the technicians. Lots. Every couple of months, we'll go out to, we'll do a business outing, we'll do dinner. If I see one of my technicians struggling on the job, tap her on the shoulder, tap him or her on the shoulder. You're out, go take a few minutes.
Collect yourself. Yeah.
Go collect yourself. So there's a lot of, a lot of interacting, a lot of watching the employees. And also the employees themselves watch out after each other. And again, it goes back to when I said, the cleaners have such a tight click with each other. They know when, when the other person is on the, on the edge a little bit, and they'll kind of just be like, take a few minutes or, hey, go home. We'll finish this up.
DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. We're talking with Paul Servino, the owner of Bio One Atlanta. Tell us a little bit about the business. Who's calling you? How do you get business?
Okay. That's a very good question. A lot of it is a lot of personal relationships that I have with obviously first responders, mm-hmm. Police officers. I'm trying to think of the organization we use here. I'll get back to it in a second. But for the most part, when something bad happens in the household, it's actually incumbent on the homeowner to find us. Very rarely do police officers hand out our cards, mm-hmm. or hand out the services they tell them about services like that. So from that point, usually it's usually word of mouth. They go to a family friend, they go to a church, they go to another company, like another cleaning company, and the cleaning company will refer us. But for the most part, they actually find us on the internet. They type in
Google.com, yeah.
Google.com, crime scene cleanup and Bio One Atlanta will pop up, and they click the call, they click us and they make the phone call, and it's usually a pretty standard phone call when they call up and they go, "Do you guys do this?" And our response is yes. And then we go, "What happened?" And in all businesses, we try to respond within an hour of the phone call. And usually about 2 hours after we show up, we usually have the scene cleaned and turned over back to the homeowner.
And again, just to wrap up, this is a situation that you said in many cases, most cases, homeowners insurance will pay?
Yeah, that's correct. We've now been in business for a while, we have not had an incident where homeowners insurance has not paid.
Wow.
For any type of biohazard in the house.
Wow. Paul Servino, the owner of Bio One Atlanta. You'll find them online, bio1atl.com. They're on Facebook as well. Check them out, Bio One Atlanta. Paul, we appreciate you being here.
Anytime.
All right, so let's get to our third guest now, Jacqueline Charles. WomenAreWorthy.net is the website. They're on Twitter at WomenAreWorthy. So where can listeners hear you? When can they hear you?
They can hear me on Saturdays, and we're now going to be doing a show on Wednesdays. We're going to implement more shows. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, so it's blogtalk.com/WomenAreWorthy.
And so what is your personal philosophy that you bring to this show?
My personal philosophy is it takes a village. We have to help each other. We're in this microwavable society, and Vanetta mentioned something earlier about, I'm going to go to the someone else who's charging less, and you're like, good luck with that. And that's so true. So I'm bringing personal experience to this, and I'm so passionate about this. But again, it takes a village. We have to help each other. It's like in the military, if we have a soldier who's wounded, we need to go back and get that person and bring them, help them however we can.
What kind of guests do you typically have?
Oh, we, our topics are men. We talk about from men to menopause. Okay, no pun intended. Our guests are women. It's, the show's called Women Are Worthy, but we do include men. Okay, we're not exclude. We're not exclusive. We are inclusive.
This is not man bashing.
Oh, no, no, no. No, that's one thing I don't tolerate. I don't tolerate man bashing. How could I? I've been married to a great guy for 26 years, and I'm sure there's more out there. Come on, woo-woo, guys. Come on. You know, I'm sick of the man bashing. It's all about educating women. And what we try to bring to the table also is to employers, how important we are with our seminars and encouraging women, because as you know, our guest mentioned about, he, majority of his people that work on his company are single women. Okay, so when they're sick, or if there's something going on in their household that's personal, they're calling in sick. So the value that companies should be calling, why they should call Women Are Worthy, we're coming in and we're empowering the women. We're talking to them about issues. We're counseling. We're just having those meetings. What's going on at home? How can we help you? How, let's just talk about it. Women now are keeping things to themselves, because if I tell Vanetta something, you know, I'm just using your name, Vanetta. Vanetta's going to tell Lisa, Marie. We don't want that. We want to help and encourage each other. That's why we're here. So that's one of the benefits of companies calling Women Are Worthy, to come in and let's coach the women through their lives.
Tell us a little bit more about that. You mentioned the seminars. What kind of work are you doing?
What I'm doing is, okay, I also do mentoring for Cobb County School Systems. I'm also coaching women regarding, because I'm finding out, men, you guys can go to work with whatever's going on at home and you're high-fiving it, and you know how to separate. Women tend not to know how to do that. So we bring the baggage into work. So my job is to go in, have meetings with women or coaching women to find out, not saying what's going on at home is not important, but how do we deal with it? Let's rip the Band-Aid off and let's deal with it. And when you talk to women, you know, and you find out someone who's going through your experience, I try to tell people, our radio show, it's a journey. The guests are on the other side of the tunnel, and the listeners who are listening to our show, they're going through the tunnel. And the guest is basically telling you there's light at the end of the tunnel. I have people from breast cancer to people who have like 3 months to live. And just listening to their enthusiasm about life, I have a lot of cutters who are teenagers on my Instagram page. Parents are not relating to their kids. So my job is to, I want to talk to the kids and the parents. So right now, I was doing this part-time, and I stepped away from my corporate job 2 Mondays ago. So I'm doing this full-time. I'm passionate about it. There is value, and I love what I do. That's the most important thing. If you love what you do, it's not work.
Talk to me about the generational difference. You work with girls, but also their parents. So where are the differences? Where are the different challenges?
The challenges, parents, some tend to forget what it was like being a child. And they're not communicating. And that's one of the things, because I'll have a child call me on the phone, and her mom's downstairs, and her mother has no idea what she's doing. Parents are not, you know, they need help, because everyone wants to pay the bills. But why are we buying these technology things for our children? People are not sitting down at home anymore. There isn't a 6 o'clock meal time. Everyone's running to, okay, let's do soccer, let's do this, let's do that after work, after school. We're not being a family based anymore. So I want to bring that in. You have to sit down with your child. You can't expect the teachers to do everything. So again, it takes a village. How many of us, when we come home from work, we're driving into our garage? Are we really, as he just mentioned, your name again, I'm sorry.
It's Paul.
I'm sorry. When you mentioned, basically, people are forgetting that they have family members, you know, that they're not visiting. Why are we not doing that with our neighbors? I mean, how often, when you really take account and you talk to people, do you know what's going on with your next door neighbor? I mean, what really hurt me, I had a next door neighbor, her husband killed himself. Hung himself. And he was pretty, we thought, put together, but he was going through something. I am not saying we can cure everything, but you know what? Hello, how you doing? What's going on? do you need some sugar? What's going on? So let's get back to that. It takes a village.
You mentioned this is relatively new, especially in a full-time capacity for you. What's the direction this is headed in the future?
We are now officially a nonprofit. Can I get some applause? Okay, thank you. And we're going to, my ultimate goal is we want to be a daytime talk show, you know, because all the other television shows out there, there's an audience for them, but we need to bring more positivity on television. I don't see that. I don't know if you guys are seeing it. I don't see that. And that's what we're trying to do. We want to also help the business owners. No one's really helping them. So I want the community to know, hey, you have this business in your community.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with that. The website is womenareworthy.net. You find them on Twitter at womenareworthy. Jacqueline Charles, interesting conversation. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
So let's bring it back to the full table, because we have three entrepreneurs sitting around us. And one of the things we do here on DeKalb Business Today is we look to educate others who might be following in your footsteps. So, Vanetta, I'll start with you. Your best advice for someone who might be looking to follow in your footsteps, start up their own business.
Ooh. Well, I will definitely say it's not for everyone. I have a saying that, you know, especially when I'm in DC a lot, I'll connect with friends from college and they're like, oh, you start a business. And I'm quick to say, you know, it sounds a lot sexier than it is. you know, so again, it is not for everyone. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I want to leave corporate America and start my own business so that I have work-life balance. And I'm like, you're going to struggle for work-life balance for the first 2, 3, 5 years, depending on what you do. I have said to a couple of people, you know, I can't fathom doing what I do if I had young kids. Hmm. Because, you know, to the point you were making, they need your time. And there's times where the business is going to be your spouse, your kid, you're all of those things. So I definitely say entrepreneurship is not something I think that people should really take lightly. I also think that the decisions that you make throughout your professional career, and you know, you were saying with women, I tend to be a very holistic thinker. I was able to do a lot of the things I was able to do in spite of, you know, the current financial situation where people, it's very difficult for small businesses to take out money because they look at the valuation of your house, or back in the day, people took out home equity loans. Well, anyone's bought a house in the last 10 years probably doesn't have a lot of equity in it. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to use my own money, but I joke and I say I'm not cheap, I'm frugal, but I am driving the second car I've ever owned. You know, I don't have cable television, things like that. And so because I've made certain decisions about how I spend my money over the years, I had the money to essentially start my business, live off of it, sustain myself, make investments, you know, invest in my own professional development. And so, again, you know, consider that. Understand what living minimally means, because you may have to for a while. So all of those things are going to be a factor. You know, I say to some of my friends, you know, I can do what I did because I don't have a shoe fetish.
yep.
And there's a truth to that. Or, you know, I don't have to have a, you know, a brand new BMW every 5 years. And there's a truth to that. So, you know, not saying, you know, that what you like to do, I mean, what I like to do may just be different from what you like to do. But understand that, you know, that will impact your ability. Or if you just one day say, you know what, I've seen this happen. When you say, I've had it at my job, I'm going to leave and do my own thing. If you don't, you know, I've seen a lot of people who stay at jobs that they're miserable at because they don't have, they're either too afraid to do something else, or they say, you know, I hate what I do, but I make too much money to do something else.
Right.
Or, you know, those type of, I've heard it all. And so consider that in just kind of how you live and the decisions that you make, even if you're not thinking about entrepreneurship at this point, because if you do, are you going to, do you have the foundation there to have those options? I would also say you're going to have to discern between networking and making genuine relationships versus just meeting. I've seen so many invitations to things that are networking that to me is like, you know, speed dating with drinks. Like, mm-hmm. that's not an effective use of my time. You will also, you know, in the federal space, we have a lot of small business set-asides. Well, we've definitely had experiences where people see that and they assume you're a young business and you might as well have fresh meat tattooed across your forehead, because they are going to try to exploit, manipulate, whatever. So it really is, you know, there's always going to be a challenge of, you know, building relationships with other businesses that really have kind of the same values as you. You know, that's always important. And if they don't, it doesn't fit, you know, my recommendation would be, you know, say hi to them, have a relationship with them, but be very cautious if you're actually going to do business with them. That would be, and also make sure you always have money to invest in your professional development. As a small business, you can't afford for your skill sets or acumen or expertise to be stale. And so you're constantly going to have to find the money, no matter how tight it is. And, you know, there's even free opportunities to make sure that you are growing, whether it's in the operation of your business or how to do your books or how to market or how to keep your certifications, whatever that is. It's really critical that you make the investment in yourself.
That's great advice. Paul, you're your own boss. You've been your own boss for a little while. What advice would you have for others who may be thinking about it?
You know, as Vanetta said, entrepreneurship is not for everybody. And it takes a lot of time. You know, the joke for me is that I need my day to be 36 hours every single day in order to get everything that I want to get done accomplished. You know, prepare to work weekends, prepare to work on off hours. That's where you're really going to grow your business. Never underestimate the laziness of your competition. You know, when they're off when they decide to take like a weekend off, hey, be out there marketing. Why is that? Because you're going to be the guy around, not them. You know, and don't be afraid to take calculated risks. And what do I mean by that? You know, in order to get ahead, obviously you have to risk something, whether it's financial, you know, equity, sweat equity, you know, material equity, whatever it is, you know, be prepared to risk, but understand what those risks mean at the end. Sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But you have to be prepared for when they don't work out, that you'd be able to, to absorb that and be able to still move forward. The other big thing with business is, much like my business, is a big sine wave. We'll go for a month not having any work to months of just being slammed, back to a month of like nothing, to where you're staring at each other going, what do we do now? You know, and it's being able to level out that, you know, that sine wave, the peaks and the valleys, to a flat line. But even then, there's no business, you know, that'd be able to flat line, you know, but you're always going to have those ups and downs. The other thing that entrepreneurs or potential business owners need to understand is that it's not easy. It's hard. Because you have to think, you know, you're no longer thinking for yourself, you're actually thinking for your business. You have employees to worry about. You know, they have to get paid. They're relying on you to make their monthly mortgage payments. You have to think about their well-being. You can't overwork them to the point to where they just up and say, "Hey, I quit."
Right.
So with that, you know, it's just understanding that your decisions have greater impact as being a business owner than just, you know, working for another company going, I'm going to get some coffee, or today I'm going to get a little bit of tea. Whereas, you know, when you're working, you know, when you're in charge or when you're the business owner, you're like, well, I got a person that's allergic to tea. You know, I can't offer that to them. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you have to think more. It's a very selfless job, basically. And as long as you're thinking about everybody else and thinking about the holistic approach towards it, you'll be fine. But it's a lot of work, a lot of sweat equity, and never underestimate the laziness of your competition.
And Jacqueline, you're brand new at this entrepreneur thing, but what have you found so far?
Well, my job was my training ground, because basically I was living in hotels 2 weeks out of the month. And I had a home-based business. My company was in Texas, but I worked out of my house. So my job was to basically, as Paul just mentioned, don't just when your competitors are lazy or they have an off day, this is what you need to do. So this set me up perfectly. What I would like to tell people is basically find your niche. because like what I'm doing, you know, I know this is what I want to do. I have to figure out what's going to make me unique from everyone else, because there's so many people out there doing the same thing. And this is not for the faint of hearts. In my household, we have this joke. What husband are you talking about? Husband one or husband two? This is what my husband says when I says, oh, my husband. He's like, which one? Women are worthy, or are you talking about me? Because, you know, as Paul and Vanetta both said, I mean, this is extremely hard. It is hard, but, you know, it's satisfying. Some of my friends, and you're going to get a lot of people trying to talk you out of it. That's another thing, because people are like, wait a minute, you were making a lot of money and you're going to do what? Because when I was working at my corporate job, I was doing this part time and it was almost like a hobby. And this is what I love to do. So I understand this is not easy. Then you'll have people who are imposing on your time, calling you thinking that this is just a, oh, okay, you're doing that little thing because you're working, you know, you're working for yourself so you can have coffee, we can go do this. No, this is my business. My mortgage has to get paid. This is what I need to do. And you have to be disciplined. You know, Paul mentioned, I think I work probably 18 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week. I set up at first because I am new doing this. So I said, okay, I'm going to take off on Sundays. I can't remember a Sunday I've been off. I've been working. Eventually, the balance will come in. And also, you have to make sure that you're using your time wisely. Not everyone who wants to meet you, you need to meet. So you have to find out. And people have their hidden agendas. So me being on the radio show, I get lots of calls. People want to be on my radio show. And I need to find out if it's going to be a good fit. So not everyone's going to be on the show. So again, I'd like to, you know, reiterate again, it's hard, but it's so worth it. And it's going to take some time before that money comes in. So you need to have that resources set aside, because, you know, you may not have that. And Vanetta just said she doesn't have a shoe fetish. I have a shoe fetish. But it's going to be put on pause for a moment because I see the greater picture. You know, so your dream is, I'm still going to pursue this dream because this is my dream. So again, you know, it's going to take hard work. You have to network, and it's very important to find a group of people that you guys are doing the same thing. If you're networking or if you're going to find some sort of mentorship, it's important to have a group of people that you're sitting down with and you're going through the same thing. So you kind of have a support group. That's the word I'm looking for, a support group, because things are going to happen and I need to pick up the phone and say, Vanetta. And Vanetta's like, Jackie, it's going to be fine. Or Vanetta's calling me. And I'm like, you know, Vanetta, it's going to be fine. You need to have that support group. Paul, you too. You're included also. Paul's going to call and I'm going to like, Paul, it's okay. You know?
Yeah, I don't want anybody to feel left out. Paul, is a shoe fetish threatening your business? Are you okay?
Yeah, as long as the shoe fetish turns into a hoarder, we'll be there.
Well played. Well, look, great advice from a great panel of guests. Vanetta Daniels, the CEO of VYD and Associates. You can check them out online, vydandassociates.com. They're on Facebook as well. Paul Servino, the owner of Bio1 Atlanta, bio1atl.com is the website. They're on Facebook. And, of course, Jacqueline Charles, womenareworthy.net. Check them out on Twitter, at womenareworthy, Facebook as well. Guys, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. We'll see you back here with another all-star panel at noon. Until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time here on DeKalb Business Today.